And then we're going to look in Luke 15. I'm going to read two passages. And we'll consider those passages here this morning. So Matthew chapter number 18. And then Luke chapter number 15. And once you get there, you'll probably be able to see where we're at. We're going to start, if you're already there, we're going to begin in Matthew 18 in verse number 12. And I want to, I always hear pages turning. I like to hear the pages turning. I want you to follow along with us this morning. There we go. Now we're on. So we appreciate you being here. Amen. All righty. Well, I don't know if it was the singing of the preaching. We had six people watching the live stream a little while ago. Now that I got up, we got four. So, amen. Amen. I don't know what that's about, but that's just part of it, I reckon. So, amen. All righty. I want us to look in Matthew 18. We're going to look at two very familiar passages with the same scripture reference. Okay, and I want us to take a moment. Excuse me. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, I want you to look at verse number 12. Verse 11 of Matthew 18 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Now we're going to put these in context in a moment. But 18:12 says this, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray." Then he says, "Even so does not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Now, we're going to read the same story, the same account in Luke 15. And it says in verse number 3 of Luke 15, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." Let's just stop a moment here and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Then we'll look at the thoughts here for this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, we're grateful to be here. We're thankful, Lord, for your goodness. We ask, Lord, that you would open up our hearts this morning to, Lord, receive your word. We know that we've come to this time where people are looking to hear from heaven this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would let the Scripture speak, Lord, to people's hearts today. God, I can't help you people. You know I can't do it, but I know that your word can. And I pray that you'd help it, and I pray that you'd open up our hearts to understand, not just with the heart, but open our minds to understand. Lord, too often, even in our churches, people who believe the same things we do, most folks are so caught up on the heart that they forget the head. And Lord, we promote the emotion at the expense of the intellect, and I pray that you'd help us to exercise both heart and mind today, emotion and intellect today, that we would hear what you say, Lord, and leave this place better followers of Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, most of us probably have heard the parable, if you will, of the lost sheep. And we've heard it many, many times. We hear it evangelistically. We hear it preached, in fact, much like the Luke 15 instance where you have it preached. In fact, probably one of the greatest evangelistic songs that has ever been written was written by Moody's song leader. And he wrote the song, The 99. And if you've never heard that song, you do yourself a great injustice. We need to. That's one of those songs we ought to learn. We ought to sing it on a regular basis, just because it'll take us back to where we were and God's good grace in coming to find us. I just want to say this. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank the Lord for that. But if any person in this room or anybody in the world goes to hell, it's their own fault. It's not because God did not make the gospel available and God did not come seeking sinners. Thank God that He seeks sinners. We appreciate that. And I say we appreciate that. It's one of those little preacher's cliches. You say it to kind of fill things in. And I'll be more than appreciated. We ought to just bow and worship that God would come to where we're at. God doesn't owe anybody mercy, but I sure am glad when He gives mercy. I'm grateful when He does give mercy. I'm grateful when He shows mercy. And I'll tell you this, if we're going to be God-like, since we're made in the image of God, we ought to be willing to show mercy. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. We ought to. So, this particular illustration, parable, is found in these two places. And again, we've heard it preached evangelistically. In Matthew 18, just looking at that text just for a moment, in Matthew 18, the entire context begins in verse number 1, when the disciples are asking in Matthew 18, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And the Lord calls a little child, sets him in the midst, and says in verse 3, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So a person to enter into the kingdom of heaven has got to come as a child with childlike faith. But the greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those who are have the attitude of a child, not in mentality and as it were intellect, but as their trustworthiness. A child simply believes and takes you at face value when you say something, and so you've got to understand that children are very, very, very trusting, and you got to be careful what you tell them. And I'll just simply say this, December coming up, you better be very careful what you tell them. Amen. They ain't no man in a red suit. Amen. And I know that upsets people. It made me mad when I went to church and that mean, grumpy old man got up and said, why is it right that I lie to my children that there's a Santa Claus? That ain't right to lie to them kids. And I thought, my land, you're awfully hardcore. Good night of living. Well, it's probably because he was raised poor like Brother Artie, and I don't know that anybody in his family went out and shot up into the air and said, Santa Claus died, you know. But I don't know if that happened. But children are very trusting. And I said that because in our text here, Jesus says that if a person is not converted and become a little child, they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to believe the simple gospel. And then the Lord comes down and He talks more about those little children and says that if a person offends one of those little children in verse number 6, it's better than a millstone were hanged about his neck and him cast into the sea. That is a very frightening statement. That is a frightening statement that a man would be better off tying a millstone about his neck. Now, the millstones in these days were not like the big grindstones, the grist mills like we have here in the States. Those grindstones might be, you know, 18 inches, 2 inches across. They might be anywhere between 4 to 6 inches thick. And they would weigh enough to where if you did tie one around your neck, you're not getting out of the water. And the Lord said it would be better for a person to be drowned and to die than it would be to, if you will, in the context here, to face the judgment of God having offended a little child. And I wonder how many little children have been hurt in a church because of something that was said, something that was done. I know a lot of times, you know, children get up, they don't always do the right things. Lydia's up here, she's squeaking and squalling on that violin. Doesn't bother me a bit. She just said, she looked at me and she said, I'm finished. And so she decided to go sit down. She was finished. It's okay. It's all right. That's good. You know, Savannah may not hit every note. She plays a whole lot better than what she did 3 or 4 years ago, but she may not hit every note right. These girls may not sing and hit every note right. But I can take you to people today who are no longer in church because somebody badmouthed them the way they played the piano. They badmouthed them when they sang. They badmouthed them when they tried to do something. Amen. That's exactly right. And most of us probably have been guilty inadvertently of doing it, but some people are just simply cantankerous. They've got to have their way. And if it's not done right, sung right, I know the song's written that way, But as far as I'm concerned, that music's written that way as a suggestion, praise God. It helps us, give us a track to run on. We'll kindly sing it how we like to. Amen. So having said that, we got to be very careful, because in the context here, Jesus is saying that these children are going to be offended. Woe unto the world, verse 7, because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom they cometh. He talks about, verse number 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And then he comes down in verse number 12, speaking about the one sheep that has gone astray, and the shepherd finding it. In verse 14, even so it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So the purpose of the story here, if you will, that Jesus gives the account of the shepherd going after the sheep, is that the Lord is concerned about little children perishing, and so he wants that one child, even as it were, to be saved. Now we're going to come back to this in a minute, but in Luke chapter number 15, the account is a little bit different. And here's the interesting thing. People will look at this and say, my, what a contradiction in the Scriptures. We have different authors for the different Gospels, and Matthew didn't write Matthew, Luke didn't write Luke, these other people, and they took all these different stories and they put them together, as if Jesus couldn't preach the same message on more than one occasion, as if he didn't use the same illustration on more than one occasion. How many of us preachers have preached the same message? How many of us have used the same illustration? Most of us could have sung the songs without the songbook today, because we've sung them before. And here Jesus uses the same illustration, but in a different context. Luke 15, verse 1 says, then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Can I just simply say this? Thank God for a Savior who receives publicans and sinners. When you get self-righteous that you don't want sinners to come in and rub shoulders with you, buddy, you've got a problem. You've got major issues. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, because they don't need any salvation. He came to call sinners to repentance. And until a person becomes a sinner, they will never seek to come to repentance. Amen. Amen. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Boy, that's what religious people do the best. They murmur. They gripe and they complain. So listen to me. If you murmur a lot, I wonder which tribe you might belong to. Just thought I'd throw that out. That's not my notes. I would not have the audacity to write that down. No, I just simply say it, you know, kind of impromptu. You look at the book of Numbers, you will find the word murmur in there many, many times. Murmur, murmured, murmur. Yeah, just look at it one time. It's a wonder God didn't kill them all. Well, their great-great-great-great-great-great-grand-youngins, here they are, murmuring against Jesus, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Whoop! Hallelujah! Thank God that he does. Amen. Thank God that he does. Now, so to get them to see what he was doing, and at the same time hide it, he begins to speak in a parable. And here's what he says. He says that this man, if he loses a sheep, goes in the wilderness to find the one, leaves the 99, and he rejoices over it. And then he likens it in verse number 7 that there will be rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents more than over those 99 just persons which need no repentance. That goes right back to what the Pharisees had said. So in the context of both of these particular situations, these particular stories, here's what we see. God is interested in the one. God's interested in the one. The Pharisees may not be concerned about sinners, but being concerned about sinners is akin to the heart of God. Just like a little sheep who belongs to the shepherd is akin to his heart, sinners, little children who might wander away, are next to the heart of God. Others may be satisfied with 99, but God is not content, if you will, with almost all. God is interested in the ones that most folks wouldn't be concerned about. Most people would say this, man, I got 99 sheep. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. What happened to one? Well, it went out and got lost in the wilderness. But I got 99. So let me just throw this out before I move where I want to go today. Just by way of application, our young folks in the church, we are blessed. You go to most churches today, you don't see young people. You don't see them. Most parents have their children at the rock and roll, you know, trapeze artist churches where they're all swinging from the rafters trying to have some type of entertainment to keep people involved and keep them coming. Well, if you have to entertain them to bring them in, you're going to have to give more entertainment, better entertainment, more intense entertainment, continued to keep them in. Here's the problem. If you have to entertain somebody to get them to come to the house of God, that's a good sign that they aren't saved. Amen. Sheep, according to John 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Amen. So if they do not follow the shepherd's voice, it is probably because they're not one of his sheep. I'm always concerned about folks who do not listen to what the shepherd says. So we've got to be very careful that we protect our little children whose faith is vulnerable. In the context of what we've said, Matthew 18, protect our children. And by the way, I did have a woman tell me, no, it wasn't a woman tell me, it was on a tape, some men were on a college campus, talking to people about Christ, because college campuses, you've got all of these ideas, and preachers were there trying to reach out to people, and here's what one of those young people said. They're passing out a tract, he takes the tract, he looks at it, and he says, don't tell me about God, I'm not interested in that. And here's what the guy said. He said, "My parents told me that there was a Santa Claus and they lied to me. Don't even start telling me about this God stuff." Well, preacher, that boy got upset because his little balloon went up into the air. No, he was upset because somebody lied to him. Now you may say, "Well, that's silly." Well, there's a man, unless he's saved now, is on his way to hell because somebody offended him and hurt his faith when he was younger. Amen, preacher. You say, "Preacher, do you really believe that that man would not want to believe in God because somebody lied to him about Santa Claus?" Well, that's what he said. That was his story. So it means it's a pretty serious thing. We ought to protect our children whose faith is vulnerable. And when I say that, protect our children in here. Protect them. Protect our children. Make sure church is a safe place for them. Amen. Make sure they hear the truth. Make sure that they are involved. Make sure that we let them know that their contribution is important. Amen. We also need to know that there are sinners that religion would look down on. So we ought to be grateful for sinners who come in seeking truth. Amen. Now, we were here Wednesday night, and everybody's standing around talking, and some fellow walks in the door and starts going over to the fire extinguisher looking, and I got in a very tough tone. I was not like, "Nice, pastor, we're glad to have you." I was like, "Can I help you?" Mm-hmm. That person didn't come in seeking help. He was coming in trying to do something else. But when it comes to sinners who are looking for truth, looking for help, we're not going to turn them away. Amen. Amen. I want to say this. God cares about the one and not just the 99. So we need to protect our little children. We need to protect sinners. Let me throw this out. In our family situations, we ought not to be content with the family circle being broken. You'll hear all these carnal groups. We watched, what was it? We flipping the channels there the other night after we were eating some hot dogs. And there were some people on TV just rocking it out. "Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by?" That whole song is about people who were saved, singing around the family circle at night in family worship, and then one by one they start to die. And will the family circle be broken in heaven because some rejected and died and went to hell? That's got a nice beat to it. It's got a nice rhythm to it. Everybody likes it. But the whole song is talking about the family circle here on this earth needs to be put together back in heaven, because every one of those people come to Christ before it's eternally too late. That's it. Parents' job ought to be to make sure that their children love God. Now, you can only do so much when children reach an age where they're not going to receive. There's so much you can do. When they move out of the house, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. Amen, that's right. And some of us here, we have children that are not where they ought to be. Some of you have talked about lost children and children who are different places, and it just breaks your heart that children are not where they should be. And let me just say this, young people, don't tear your parents' heart out, for crying out loud. Don't rip your parents' heart out. The reason your parents have gray hair is probably because you put a few there. Amen. Amen, that's right, preacher. You put a few gray hairs there. Especially if you're a boy. Running the roads. Amen. Driving fast, because we all do that. Even if we have four cylinders or eight cylinders, or it's two cylinders. Brother, let me tell you something. We drive fast. That's how we do it. Amen. So young people, don't put gray hairs in your parents on your parents' heads before their time. Just don't do it. And of course, young ladies can do the same thing. But I want to simply say this, that you ought to love your parents. The day's going to come when they're gone. Parents, the days are going to come when your children are gone. You ought to love them and spend all the time with them that you can, as much as humanly possible. But here's what we do. We focus on the 99. We focus on the 90 and 9. I want to spend a little time considering the shepherd and his watch care of the sheep just for a minute. The problem with the sheep in both Matthew 18 and in Luke 15, I want you to listen to me. The problem with the sheep was their physical location. Where they were determined their safety and their security. So let me just spell it out. Where the sheep were, their physical location, listen to me, was critically important to the shepherd. The shepherd was concerned about where his sheep were at. Here's some problems. When a sheep is separated from the flock, that produces a special set of problems for that sheep. Number one, when a sheep becomes separated from the flock, he becomes disoriented. Sheep are really bad with directions. It's kind of like most women that I know. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm sorry. Not every woman, thank God, but most women. Not every woman. If you were to ask my wife to give you directions to Tennessee, you might end up on the other side of the Mississippi after going around the Rocky Mountains two or three times. God love her. I mean, and I love her. I'm telling you, that's the way that it is. Now, I know some fellas, they're that way too. I mean, they couldn't drive their way out of a wet brown paper bag. Amen. That's right. I mean, before GPS, we had maps. That's right. You had them maps, and them things are like two-dimensional. It's got all them blue and gray and green and red and all that, and you had to follow the one, and them numbers tell you which one you go to after that. Yeah. I went camping one time with a buddy of mine. We just went out took off from the back door of the house. We went out to the woods a couple of miles, stayed one night on the side of the mountain, and I got up and I said, Daniel, which way would you go to get back to my house? He said, I'd go that way. Well, buddy, you go that way. I said, I'm going this way. Now, granted, I had home court advantage, okay? But when you walk in the woods, you're raised out there, you learn directions, you know where things are. I could go out there tomorrow, none of y'all would be able to find me. Bloodhounds or nothing, you couldn't find me. I'm not bragging. It's no brag, just fact, all right? Amen. Thank you, Walter Brennan. I appreciate that. All righty, no brag, just fact. But the shepherd is concerned about his sheep, because when that sheep goes away from the flock, it becomes disoriented. Here's what it does. That sheep keeps its head down, and it's eating, 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 and it's eating. And then all of a sudden it looks up and it's like, where am I at? And it's lost. Excuse me. What does the sheep say? He says, where am I at? Amen. You want to get Isaac concerned? Ask him about a birthday spanking. Just ask him about it. Just ask him about it. Just ask him about it. He gets very, very, very concerned about that. Amen. That's all right. Amen. Found a dime. Here, I'll let you go up here and put that in the jug. You can even do it while I'm preaching. It's okay. Go up and put it in the jug. It's all right. There we go. That's all right. See? You've got to give Isaac a job to do. That's right. Needs a little help. That's right. Appreciate that, buddy. Amen. Yeah, I wrestled that jug away from him. I dare you. So that sheep goes out and he puts his head down. The sheep becomes disoriented. Gets lost easy. You know why they keep their heads down? Because they're eating. But the problem is keeping that head down, they have no situational awareness. This day and time, you need to be situationally aware. Look around. If you're walking around a place at night, notice things that are out of place. Amen. Watch for reflections. Watch for movement. Watch for things you can't see. Watch for white creeper vans that don't need to be around where you're at. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. And if somebody grabs you, you take a finger or a screwdriver or something and you put it in their eye and drive it all the way out the back of their head. And if somebody says, why did you do that? You say, my pastor told me to. Amen. And you do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Because whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Amen. That's right. Amen. Sheep become disoriented. It's easy for a sheep to get lost when it stops looking at what's going on. Now, I know a lot of times we need to be focused on the food, on the eating. The problem is that only is safe when the shepherd's around. But once the sheep gets out of the watch care of the flock, it's dangerous for the sheep. I got up the other night because I got my little 10/22 and a flashlight, and I went outside and I started looking because I heard Mr. Coyote starting to yip outside. Amen. Amen. I heard him starting to yip. Those things are dangerous to livestock, they're dangerous to animals, pets, and things like that. So what are you doing? I'm just trying to protect. I heard a noise that got my attention. Not every animal out there pays attention. And sheep are probably the worst animals at paying attention. Here's the problem. The sheep become disoriented. And you know what happens when sheep become disoriented? They wander. Sheep become disoriented and they wander. That's what happens. And because the sheep that have become separated are disoriented, number two, not only are they disoriented, they are in danger. A sheep has, watch this, zero ways of defense. Now we understand that there are rams, and they do have horns, okay? They do have that. And if you do come between a ewe and her mother, I mean a ewe and her lamb, rather, the ewe, the mom's the ewe, come between her and her baby, you might be in trouble. But just the run-of-the-mill, rank-and-file sheep out there walking around, if two or three coyotes come up, if a pack of wolves come up, if a lion or a bear come up in David's day, what does that sheep do? Nothing. When that sheep falls on its back, guess what happens? It dies. Some of you have seen the person, the sheep farmer on Facebook, who will show you what's going on whenever that sheep rolls over, and you've seen one where it just kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks and kicks. And I can't remember if he said that it will actually suffocate, but the weight of the organs keeps it down because when they're on their back, they're not balanced. So when they're on their back, they have no way they can roll back over, and they're just kicking their feet in the air. They're helpless. Well, all an animal has to come up and do is just come up and, you know, latch on right there, choke them out, and it's supper time. It's dangerous for a sheep when they wander from the flock. And when the sheep becomes disoriented, he becomes in danger. And when the sheep is in enough danger, they eventually die. That's what happens to the sheep. And you say, well, why in the world is the shepherd so concerned? Because the sheep are under his watch care. The sheep are under his purveyance of, of security, and they have an expectation of security. Now, if you ever read Philip Keller's The Shepherd's Look, the 23rd Psalm, probably one of the best books ever written from a shepherd's standpoint. There are sheep that after a while, here's what the shepherd will do. If a sheep continues to wander, here's what he'll do. He will get the sheep, he will bring it back. He'll bring it back. And then finally, he will take that sheep and he will break its leg. He'll wrap the leg and then he will carry that sheep around with him because that sheep does not need to wander. And if the sheep continues to go even after the leg breaking, he says that's when we get out the butcher knife and we kill the sheep. Say, why in the world would a shepherd be so mean and do that to the sheep? Because there are other sheep who will watch that one sheep go wander. And they'll go wander. And here's what these sheep in the flock say. Well, they're wandering, so I guess it's okay for me to wander. Let me say this. It's not safe for sheep to wander. It's just not. It's not safe to do that. And here's the thing. If we were to look at this, shepherd. Let's just, return to our text. It doesn't matter if you're in Matthew 18 or Luke 15. Doesn't matter. Let's just look at our text for a second. If you were to look at this shepherd, I want you to listen to me. Get this. You ready? The shepherd in both of our texts was 99% successful. Amen. 99% successful. How many of you kids would like to get a 99 on every single test that you ever take? Okay. Now some of us are like, no, I want the 100. Some of y'all are like that. Amen. Because you hang around people who are like that. Which is a good thing. But that shepherd was 99% successful. Brother Eric, would you not like to go into every service call that you do, every job that you do, and 99% of the time just knock it out right off the bat, don't even have to think about what it is? Brother, you'd be going home at 11 o'clock every day. It'd be done. You're done. How would you like to be 99% successful? How would you like, Brother David, everything that you do pass an inspection 99% of the time? Brother Kevin, you're better financially than I ever will be as far as the way your mind works. How would you like to have a 99% safety on like only the chance of losing 1% of your money? 99%? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's right. What a deal that would be. Brother, listen, 99% is nothing to sneeze at. But if that shepherd were to sit around, button his jacket after he had thumped his self-righteous suspenders and said, I am a 99% successful shepherd, we would think that shepherd was a failure because he did not show concern for the one. Say, he's a good shepherd. Yeah, listen, there's always an attrition rate. Sheep are going to make their decisions, they're going to go out, they're going to become disoriented, they're going to get in danger, and they're going to die. But here's the problem. The sheep that are delinquent, and that's not even in my notes. Just hit me right now. The sheep that are delinquent, they're the ones who influence other sheep. You see, here's what I've heard. And I understand it, but I want to correct something. You ready? Here's what I've heard, but I want to correct this. Concentrate on those who are here. I hear that. That is a lesson, though, that I have learned. I'll tell you how I've learned that in the context. Here's what I've heard. Preacher, concentrate on those people who are here and who want to learn. The problem is, my heart aches for those people who have begun to wander. Now, I will tell you this. I've learned that you help people who want to be helped. I had there's a gentleman in the church. I've told you about him when I pastored, first church I pastored. I spent all my time trying to help this man because he was the pain in the side, okay? He was the thorn in the flesh. He was the one who was against everything. He had to have his way, all right? So I'm helping this fella. Well, while I'm trying to straighten this fella out, I got a whole bunch of other people who are starving to death. But here's the deal. This man's in the building. So you know what I did? I shifted my concentration from one to the next. So yes, I help those people who are here and want help. I help them. But here's the thing that I see. The heart of a shepherd is concerned about those who wander. We're live, we're on Facebook, and I'm going to say a couple things. We have some sheep who are delinquent. We've had some folks who've left. None of the people have talked to me about, "Preacher, I feel like it's time for me to go." What would happen if you didn't show up at work the last week of work? Do you think that they're going to still let you file your paperwork without any trouble for retirement? No. Talk to folks who have not gotten signed up for Social Security by the deadline and how much they lose when they sign up after the deadline. Yeah. I'm saying it live, I'm saying it on Facebook, and you know, the pastor usually knows everything after it's already taken place, so that way you all will know it before everybody else does when it gets out. But we have folks who've left and they didn't leave for the right reason. Look at me, they left out of the will of God. Look at me, they are not right with God. If you're listening to me on Facebook, tell them, I don't mean to be ugly. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being hateful. They didn't leave right with God. And they're not. They're just not right. None of us is perfect. I get it. Understand that. I'm the worst Christian in the bunch in this church here. Not a problem. But I want us to understand that God has given the church a shepherd to help feed and to lead. And when folks leave over issues that are non-biblical because they're not wanting to do the right thing, that tells me there is a wandering problem, there's a heart problem. The shepherd wants to concentrate on those people who are here to feed, protect, to make sure that everything for our church to go forward is there. But I will say this, the heart of this shepherd was shown because he was concerned about those who went astray and left. They went out. So I just want you to understand from a pastor's perspective, you do not look better going than coming. I've heard preachers say this, "Well, they just look better going than coming. I'd rather see them go as come." Well, you're looking at a fellow who wants to say, "Come on, stay with us. Come in." A Christian will never grow as they should until they are part of a faithful, involved part of a local New Testament church. Now, I'm hardcore on this. You know that I'm hardcore on this. And I don't think this is something you found out after I got here, but I'm one of those fellows, I believe that when the church does something and we're off work, you know, whatever, there's no family emergency, we're there for everything. I know some folks are sick. I get it. Brother Artie, still recovering from all of his stuff going on. I get that. It's going to take a little while to get back in the swing of things. Now, like I said, we're still going to work him like a barred mule, but, you know, we're going to do that slowly, okay? We're going to do that slowly. But you're looking at a fellow who says that if the church meets on Sunday morning and you're a member of the church, this is where you ought to be. But here's what's sad. As soon as the pastor begins to say what is necessary and say things that are true, he puts himself in danger of saying something to make somebody mad and then not come back. Because we live in a day when other pastors in our area do not have the character to call you and tell you when other people go over to their church. And I said that live on Facebook too. Amen. It's right. I know it's right. And if there were zero amens, it'd still be right. That's the day that we live in. And I've had a couple of men who've picked up the phone and they have shown enough, you know, fortitude to call me, and I appreciate that. That is a huge blessing. But when you tell folks who are part of the church, we have Sunday school at this time, we have worship service at this time, and again, I've got to say, I've got to talk about all the sick people because I'm afraid of offending somebody, but I'm not going to do that today. If you're a member of the church, you ought to be here. And I say that, and when I do that, automatically I'm endangering our church because somebody would say, well, you know what, I'm not going to be told what to do. I'm going to leave and do my own thing. But here's the thing. They show more faithfulness to a job, to their family, to a club, to an organization, to a particular, whether it's playing music on a Friday night at the community center, like there are dozens and scores of people in our hometown that do that. They would not miss going to Rocky Branch on Friday night. I mean, if it was half a day on Judgment Day, they'd go down there to meet and pick bluegrass. I just know how it is. There are some folks, they would not miss that. But if something happens and it doesn't work out, then they won't be a church. I'm not talking about the proverbial ox being in a ditch. I'm not talking about having trouble where you've got legitimately have something come up, but I'm too tired to come to church. Well, something in your life needs to go that involves getting rid of the weights of this world and concentrating on the things of God. And here's why. Amen. The time is going to come when we will stand before God. We'll look upon His face, His thorn-shadowed face, and we'll wish we would have given Him more. Why is the shepherd so concerned about the physical location of the sheep? Because we have people who don't come to church on a regular basis. Listen to me. They'll go eat at a restaurant, they'll go shopping, but they won't be at church because they're scared of COVID. I saw a fellow on Facebook here the other day. They were talking to this, I know it was a lady, preacher's wife, I think, talking to a young lady at the store and asked her how COVID, or asking about how her, you know, where she went to church. She's a Christian. How's church going? Oh, we don't go to church. I just don't go to church. She said, I'm scared of getting COVID. This woman worked as a cash register in a store, ringing up people's groceries, counting people's money, talking to people face-to-face, but she couldn't go to church and sit on a pew by herself 6 feet away from other people because she was concerned about getting COVID. I'm going to say this, COVID is probably one of the greatest things to happen in the church age to tell apart motives of folks. Now look, we've had people who've had it. We've had people who've been sick with it. I'm not discounting that. I've had dear friends who have died from COVID. Okay? So I'm not throwing off on it that it's not, you know, there'll be some people, you know, it's not real. Let's not even go there. It's real, it's dangerous. But the shepherd is concerned about your physical location. He's so concerned about that. And I know that, you know, I'm not the principal, you don't need a hall pass, but usually, I've got a couple of folks who are really good about, hey, brother, we're not going to be there tonight. I've got to work late, or I'm sick, or such and such, and we're not going to be able to be there. You don't know how much I appreciate that. Because we've had so many people, I'm just going to say, we've had so many people just lay out to lay out because they didn't feel like coming. It makes me wonder if their wondering hasn't gotten to some other people, and you have been poisoned by the unfaithfulness of other people. I'm just going to say it. We had folks apparently who left the church months ago. I didn't know about it. but find out that other church people knew about it, but it just didn't tell me. You don't love your church. You don't love your church. You don't love your church family. You don't love anybody except yourself. That's harsh. But what I'm trying to convey to you is the heart of the shepherd who was concerned not just about the 99. He wanted that one that was wandering in the wilderness. He wanted that one. So I just want to leave that with you this morning. We need to understand the heart of the shepherd here. If we've got little children in our church, and we do, we ought to have the heart that every one of them comes to faith in Christ. Every one of them. Brother John, I'm just concerned about your children as I am my own. They don't even know who God is. Can I just say it that way? They don't know. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. They don't know black, white. They don't know Democrat, Republican. They don't know east, west. They don't know right, left. They don't know any of that. But what they need to know is there is a God in heaven who loved them, who died for them in the person of His Son, and will give them eternal life if they'll repent and believe. I'm just as concerned about that. If we've got children who are wayward, Brother Allen, my heart goes out to you, brother. Other folks, I know that you have children, Brother Kevin and Miss Sharon, you all got children who are wayward. They know what's right. They know it. They know what's right. They absolutely know what's right. And that they just say, we're just not going to do what we want to do. Sometimes people get busy. Sometimes it's just the cares of life enter in. I understand that. I get it. But I also understand that there's the job of that shepherd who is concerned about that one. Now this one, he went out and got the one and brought it back. But here's what's sad. In Matthew 18, I don't guess I noticed this until just this time looking at it. But in Matthew 18, when that man leaves, the 100 sheep goes to get the one that's out in the mountains. Here's what verse 13 says, and this is sad. And if so be that he find it, he rejoices. He may not find it. That's what's sad. So when you say, well, just concentrate on those of us who are here, I understand what you say, but I've got to correct that so that you understand where I'm coming from when not everybody's here. I want you to understand that. I hate it that Ryan and Abby had to go to Kentucky. Bunch of leftist liberals sent them down there. Amen. But, and I know y'all got family you're helping take care of. And having been there, we understand just a tad bit about that. So we get it. Amen. I would be just tickled plumb to death if Brother Ryan called and said, hey, we're moving back up next week. Good. Guess what? I'm going to work you like a dog in the church. Amen. I'm going to. Amen. I'm going to. That's right. But I'm just concerned. So understand it from my perspective. Show grace. Show grace, if you would, to me. And you know, pray. Just pray that the Lord will help our folks who are not dedicated to be here. And again, I know folks have health issues. I'm not saying that. And here's what I'm saying. If you're not here, I'm going to assume that you're sick. You've got health issues. I know Sister Skinner would love to be here every service all the time. She just can't be here. I understand that. And I believe it's, 10 or 15 minutes before you go, you don't know whether or not you're going to be able to make it. I completely get that. But not everybody's that way. Some folks, I'm just so tired. Well, everybody's tired. Everybody's tired. Kids do schoolwork all day long. That's not easy to do when you do it and you do it right. Physical labor, mental labor, working in the kitchen all day long over hot stuff, none of that's easy. But just understand the heart of the shepherd that I'm not content with 99%. I'm not content with 99%. I'm content when everybody is here where they should be. So show a little grace, please, on my perspective, and understand that when you see, man, the pastor just looks like he's down. Well, when folks aren't on vacation and people just aren't showing up, what does that tell you? Preacher, you stink. We hate your preaching. No, they don't hate you. Well, people vote with their gas pedal. They vote with their footsteps. I vote with my dollars. Amen. Amen. I know. That's right. People vote different ways. And it's not about whether my preaching's good or not. I'm going to tell you, I'm not being ugly, I'm not being hateful. My preaching's good preaching. I'll tell you why, because it all comes out of that Bible. Line upon line, precept upon precept. It comes out of that Bible. Amen. And when I've asked people, you know, if you've got an issue, what issue are you leaving over? Nobody has a biblical reason. Well, I was going to tell you, unless God moves you, and there are certain reasons He would move you, then He's not moving you. Well, we just don't feel like we're getting anything down there. It's because you don't open your Bible and read it and listen and hear what God has to say. There are many preachers better than I am, and I try to have them in. Doesn't bother me a bit. I'd love to be able to preach like Dr. James Jones. I'd love to be able to preach like Brother Thrift. I'd love to be able to preach like those fellas. I'd love to. But my goodness gracious, all I can do is be who I am. And all I can do is open up and give you out of that book what it says. Amen. So I want to encourage you. Have a mind and have a shepherd's heart that when folks aren't here, there's a reach out, there's a call. I was here this past week. I got the mail, and a lady sent us a little check because somebody from the church had sent her one of those little devotional booklets. I thought, she didn't have to send a check, but the thank you letter was so nice to get just because she recognizes that folks here haven't forgotten. And I appreciate the ladies or whoever has that ministry of sending them. God bless you. That's a blessing. That really is. So, amen. Well, I reckon that'll be it. Sister Skinner, I'm not going to make you come play today. Amen. I've said all that needs to be said. I've given you my heart today. And I hope you'll just take that and think about it. There are some applications on our children and for sinners. But I want you to think about the shepherd and think about his perspective just a little bit. And whenever he's concerned about it, whether it's me, Brother Morris, Brother Hivner, you know, Brother Thornsley, whoever, Brother Phipps, Brother Price, whoever it may be, just remember that and show a little grace. All right, that'd be great. Amen? All righty.